podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, Android, and other products are worth at Gazelle.com. And by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere, on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Visit HuluPlus.com/AllAboutAndroid to start your free 2-week trial. That's HuluPlus.com/AllAboutAndroid. Hello and welcome to yet another episode of All About Android, episode 140, recorded on Tuesday, December 17th, 2013. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm not as sick as I was last week.
Thankfully, because you were kind of sick as a dog, and it turns out you got even worse before it got better.
It got even worse, yeah. Oh, I was pretty much bedridden, like, for 2 days. I couldn't even... I was actually couch-ridden, to be honest. I didn't even want to sleep in my bed. I didn't want to lay flat, so it was pretty bad. But glad to be back this week, feeling a lot better. Hopefully a lot less contagious for
well,
you know,
I seem to have dodged the bullet. I don't know about you, but
Because I'm sitting next to you that whole show.
After I started getting worse after the show, I was like, oh, I really hope those guys didn't get sick. I would feel so
wipes out the whole cast.
Thankfully, that did not happen, and we are back once more before Christmas break. Of course, next week, our show would normally be on Christmas Eve, right?
It would.
And the Twit studio is dark.
Because Christmas Eve is on a Tuesday. Our show isn't normally on Christmas Eve.
It's right. Just, no.
This year, that's the way it worked out.
So we're going to have a best of kind of clips show for next week. And then we're going to have a show on New Year's Eve. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. Right now, though, let's introduce our awesome guest. We're welcoming back Daniel Bader, senior mobile editor for Mobile Syrup. Welcome back, Daniel.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It's awesome to have you back. I feel at home seeing the brick wall
it's
behind
very cozy.
You. I feel like I'm surrounded by bricks here at the studio. So it's like you're in the other room.
That's right, yes. It's snowing outside, which I'm sure you don't know what that is.
I know what that is, and I miss it, but I don't miss it enough to want it to snow.
I've seen it up
in
Tahoe. That's the white stuff.
I'm really kind of concerned. I'm going back east on Thursday night, and now I'm like, oh. It's like it just got warm again here in San Francisco, where it's like I was out the other night without a jacket again. I'm like, oh, it's 60 again. Awesome. And now it's going to snow in New York.
Oh, you guys suck.
I know. I was going to say, those are the moments where we realize, like, we live in California. Like,
sorry.
We're complaining that, you know, that it's not quite warm enough to be in short sleeves during the winter.
But that's the best thing about traveling over the holidays, too, because you get to come back here, right? I mean, it's like, and Christmas in New York is awesome. Like, you get to experience the snow, and it's everybody's, you know, less cranky than usual. And then you come back here, and it's nice and warm again, so.
Before we move on, I just noticed in your lower third, you have your Google Plus URL, right?
It's Google. Oh, yeah.
That works.
My vanity URL got my request finally came through and got denied.
Denied, really?
I got an email that my request for a vanity URL on Google Plus of /+ RonXO, after how many, what, it's been a month and a half?
It's been a while.
It just, sorry, we've denied it. You can choose from this, and it was my name. And so now I'm /+ Ron Richards. So.
Now, did it give you the option to try and do a different one? No, you failed.
And as far as I can tell, I did a little informal Twitter polling, and it looks like everybody else didn't get it either.
Right.
I think one or two people were like, oh, I got mine, but I didn't see a whole lot of, like, I got overwhelmingly, mine got denied, mine got denied, mine got denied. So I bet you they just kind of scrapped that whole thing. So, there I am. So I am /+ Ron Richards. There you go.
Plus Ron Richards. That doesn't make any sense.
I know. Well, the thing is, like, normally I would agree to it. I like the idea of it being your name and that sort of thing, but, like, /Ron XO has been my Twitter handle since 06. Like, it's been, you know, like, it's established. I think it's safe to say that I'm that person. But
Google Plus doing things differently, I guess.
Yeah. That's right.
And by different, it means using your real name that you've had all your life.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got a lot of interesting stuff to talk about this week, discussing Chromecast plans for 2014. We're starting to hear a lot more about what's going to be happening around the corner. Google's possible entry into thermostats. Didn't see that one coming. The many ways Android gets festive for the holidays, because, you know, you kind of have to have a little holiday thing in there, a little holiday hook, and more. But let's start off with some news. So, I'm not sure. This will probably be the last time that we talk about this, because I feel like we've talked about it a lot. But App Ops, which was the permissions capability, it arrived in 4.3. Every week starts with a timeline. It arrived in 4.3, then seemingly disappeared in 4.4, but then was rediscovered thanks to an app that we featured on the show called App Ops 4.3/4.4. Now, with 4.2, it's missing entirely. An Android engineer, Diane Hackborn, said that App Ops was actually never meant to be user-facing to begin with.
You were never supposed to have this thing.
There was nothing to see here. Google uses it for internal testing and debugging. And the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, is that? Piped in saying the App Ops was a huge advance in Android privacy that now is completely missing. The fact that they cannot turn off app permissions is a hole in the Android security model, and a billion people's data is being sucked through. Embarrassingly, it is also one that Apple managed to fix in iOS years ago. So, Daniel, did you ever use this App Ops feature? How big of a deal is this? And if Google let the cat out of the bag, shouldn't we just be able to play with the cat?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think Diane, she's been the person to go to since day one for all of those engineering questions. And App Ops was always meant as a framework debugger. I don't ever think it was meant to be seen by you or me. And I think that more today, more than any time in Android's history, you have to understand that developers... It's incumbent on developers to make their permissions plain to their users, but also to abide by Google's rules. And I think, yeah, Apple's done that to some extent, but at the same time, Google's open nature lets developers, you know, just go wild with permissions. But that also affords users the ability to get up their ass about all their extra permissions that they shouldn't be using. So I don't know. I mean, App Ops breaks stuff. And I found that when I tweaked when I tweaked App Ops, it just messed with all the apps. If I denied a certain permission, that like it may have denied an API that was necessary for that app to function, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was worried about with this, is that, you know, it's great to say that you can do it, but what's the effect on the app itself? Because, you know, basically at the from my, you know, small attempt at writing a few Android apps, I mean, those things basically get derived, right? Those permissions, they get derived based on examination of your app, you know, when you build it and when you submit it to the App Store. So those things get derived, and it's like, well, you know, yeah, I don't want it capturing information about me and sending it someplace, but you never know what that exactly means, right? I mean, all those permissions could mean a lot of different things. And one of them could be important, like, wow, this app is not going to function unless... you know, the way it's intended, unless you allow us to store things on your local storage. I mean, so, yeah, I just think that I think this got blown out of proportion, quite frankly. I mean, a lot of people were up in arms about it. And I really don't think there was a lot. There wasn't a lot there. I think it really was meant for devs to be able to turn things on and off. And it got picked up as a potential new feature when it really wasn't. So,
yeah. And that's the risk that we, I mean, what we have is that you have a very vocal, let's be honest, minority of people who this is relevant to.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you've got a large population of people who probably don't know enough to tinker, but are curious enough to tinker. Oh, I don't know, maybe change the runtime or like, you know, like things like that, you know.
I don't know.
You know, and then you've got a larger population of people who just don't care and will never blip, you know. So it becomes almost a tempest in a teapot in that, where it's you know, you know, in that case. And it straddles this line of how much control and tinkering and modding do we have over our devices, and how important is it to sustain their functionality?
Yeah, and the timing was just bad, too, with all the privacy concerns going around.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely bad timing.
Interesting.
just to note real quick, 4.4.2 also patches a few denial of service issues that we had heard about, particularly one in particular, the Flash SMS vulnerability from a few weeks back. That's patched. So, and then, you know, I got it on my Nexus 5.
I was just going to say, did we all get it? I think I got it.
Yeah, I got it. And, you know, camera performance improvements. Yep. Quality
so much better.
Yep.
Yeah, well, the HDR mode is the one that I appreciate the most, because I love shooting in HDR with that camera, and just seeing a progress meter that tells you how long you're waiting is just, I don't know, as long as the progress meter is true and works, which it seems to. Quality of my pictures, I don't know. I honestly couldn't say, because I always liked the quality of the pictures on mine personally. A lot of people didn't, though.
I haven't noticed. I haven't been like, oh, wow, the camera's way better since 4.4.2. But I also haven't gone, ah, when it did that weird pause after taking a picture or whatever. Like, I haven't. The things that annoyed me, I haven't noticed. So I take that as like no news is good news kind of approach to it. Yeah. So anyway, so last week we were talking, we got a little heated when we were talking about Google Chromecast and what the potential of it was. That last week? Yeah, it was last week.
Mm-hmm.
These episodes just run into one another. But we got a little more insight and kind of thoughts around the Google Chromecast details on their plans for 2014 from their vice president, and I want to get this name correctly, Mario Quiroz. VP of Project Management running on the Chromecast side, on the Google side, and talking about how extremely popular the device has been and that how it's going to expand overseas in 2014, and that folks in different countries will be pleasantly surprised by how wide the international expansion is planned to be. And additionally, two kind of points that I found interesting is one, once they do the international launch, Google is going to be focusing at the bigger picture and working with consumer electronic manufacturers to bring the Google Cast standard to as many devices as possible, and also an expansion to applications. We've seen, you know, recently, I think 10 new apps are added, and everybody's getting all excited about that. He further explains that Google's vision is to have any app be compatible, and he states that, quote, there'll be an expectation from consumers that any an app will be castable. And every app will be castable. So they're not giving up on Chromecast. Looks like 2014 might.
I feel like I already have. I mean, I realize it's premature, but I already kind of have that expectation. Maybe it's less of an expectation and more of a desire.
Yep.
I do want every applicable app to have that cast capability, because I love Chromecast.
Yeah, this is interesting that he notes that they're working with consumer electronics manufacturers. So that could be what, like TVs?
Yeah, TVs. Yeah.
Other devices like Roku, I assume, could have, Cast.
Yeah, just wants to be Google Cast to be a standard.
Right, to be a standard. I mean, that's what I find most interesting, because we talked about the TV thing last week and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this kind of goes to my supposition that they should be working with TV manufacturers to just build this in. Right, as some sort of a standard or some sort of a it's like one more. You know, when you go out and you look at TVs and you buy the TV and it has like a million icons.
Acronyms and,
So this is like one more, like, you know, Google Cast enabled or something. You know,
and however they handle
that
integration,
I'd actually look for.
Yeah, exactly.
And however they handle that integration, I mean, like, that's what they tried to do with Google TV, and it looks like they failed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what there was thoughts and rumors that TiVo was going to jump from the set box to the TV. Like, that's always the end result, is to get on that TV, because then you're in. You don't need to explain to users how to use it. They don't need to buy something else. Once it's a part of the device, then it's there and can be used.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can make it as simple as you buy a TV, you plug it in, it finds your phone, and then it just works, like, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
So not something that I'm totally – like last week when I said I want a dumb monitor and let me decide, I'm more of a tinkerer. I'm more of a home theater hacker.
Right.
But yeah.
Now, Daniel, Chromecast in Canada, because Chromecast has been pretty darn limited worldwide. What's the status in Canada? I don't know off the top of my head.
No, it's not here.
Not there.
Oh.
No. But it's, I mean, it works. You can buy one in the States, and I'm getting my aunt to bring one up in early January. And, you know, we have HDMI here. We just got electricity a couple weeks ago, so.
Good.
HDMI now works. And actually, Ron, I was thinking about that earlier, how, you know, Google has, they have a reason to push, Chromecast as a standard, because they've been tepidly supporting Miracast over the last few years. I mean, they've integrated it, I think, into the Nexus 4 and a couple of the other Nexus devices. And I know a lot of OEMs have integrated Miracast, but it's terrible. I mean, the standard is not really a standard. Everybody applies it differently. Netgear has a few products like that integrate into TVs, but they're just, the performance is awful. So if they can, work with guys like Roku and all those companies and TV manufacturers to get them, you know, integrated so you don't need a dongle. You know, they could one up Apple. You wouldn't need an Apple TV, and they could charge pennies for it. And you know, it could just work, and that could give, you know, Android that much more of an edge. You know, it's cheaper for everything, including streaming to media content streamers.
You if you eliminate the dongle, you take away the cost to the consumer. If you get the consumer electronic manufacturers to pay for the license for it to be in the TV, then it's just free and it just works. And it's like you said, it's another value add for people to get Android. It's like, oh, get an Android phone and you can watch Netflix on your TV with your phone. Like that's pretty big.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably where the bigger picture, the vision is. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they want you to pay for all access. They don't care about how you get it. They just want to be able, Google just wants you to be able to pay for all access and stream it to your receiver. So if Chromecast can be that catalyst, then they're going to do that.
And it also makes the Google Play Store that much more important, because not only you have the Android device, you have Chromecast on your TV, and now you want to watch a TV, watch a movie, get it from the Google Play Store. Yes, it will support, you know, you can support Netflix and you can support all the other castable apps you want to, but ultimately they want to build up, you know, they want to compete with Apple and iTunes and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And this is a way to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely competing for eyeballs. They definitely want to be in the living room. I'll tell you where else they want to be. They want to be in the middle of your caroling group.
Well done.
Do you guys go caroling? Is this something? Am I the only one? All the time.
Even when it's not the holidays.
Right. I mean, just to spread the holiday cheer, right? Yeah. It's kind of like Elf. The best way to bring something is the best way to spread holiday cheer is to sing loud for all so all can hear. Okay. I forget.
I saw that for the first time last weekend, by the way.
Did you like
which
it?
Was?
Yes.
Yeah, what is good. It?
Oh, it's one of our all-time favorites.
Which I feel like I need to see Elf? It again, apparently.
Elf with
Will Ferrell. Yeah. Classic.
Yeah. It's become an instant classic in our house. Yeah. Anyway, so this week Google announced, this was all over like Google Plus and social networks, they announced a new card. Or I don't know, is it really? I guess it is a card, but it's a card that does something.
It's a Christmas card.
Kind of interesting. Yeah, it's a Christmas card. There you go. Dun, dun, dun.
I'll be here all week, folks.
And so what you can do is actually when you go into Google, if you've got Nexus 5 with the new search, you can just do it right from the home screen. Or if you're like me and you're running, you're not running the search, you can actually do it just by clicking on the Google search icon on your home screen and say, okay, Google, let's go caroling. So let's give this a shot. So I've got my and you can see I'm all festive with my.
Oh, you are festive.
Yeah, look at that, the snow and everything. It's all nice.
You probably put like lots of Christmas lights outside your house.
I do.
Nice. Yeah, dark Christmas all over here. When you said okay, Google triggered it on my phone. By the way,
did it all the way from over here?
Yes.
So on mine, I actually have to hold down the button to get it to go. So there we go. Okay, Google, let's go caroling. Here it comes. You got to wait for it. It is coming. Whoop, there it is. Which carol would you like to sing? What should we sing, guys? I've got the audio plugged in.
Deck the Halls.
Okay, so you click on that and hit play.
Oh, it gives you the lyrics.
And it's like follow the bouncing ball. You hear it? Do I need to turn it up?
Oh, so festive.
There we go. There, and I don't know if you can see the little red. It's a little bit hard to see. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I see it now.
You see it?
La, 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 la. Yeah. Now it's on. Don't we now are getting
trolls? Trolls in the song? Yeah. I never knew there were trolls in this song.
Troll the ancient Yuletide carol. Right. There we go.
That's
nobody wants
cute.
To hear me sing.
That's
but
clever.
It is pretty cool. And it does. This will go on forever, so I'll pause it. And then you can go back. You can start over. You can go back and pick different carols. They have quite a number of carols here. Oh, Christmas Tree, Wish You a Merry Christmas. It's kind of cool. I mean, I'm really glad to see, you know, Google doing this kind of stuff just for fun, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anyone's actually going to bring this out with them, you know, in their caroling group to be like, here's how we're going to do it this year. Yeah. Here's how we're going to do the caroling this year. Put away your sheet music. You know, we're not going to use that.
Somebody opens the door. The caroler's like,
okay, Google. Yeah.
Okay, Google. Let's go caroling. Exactly. One second.
Just a second. It's coming up.
Hang on, it's got to come up. All right. Yeah.
I don't have LTE. I'm sorry. It's going to take a second. Yeah.
I'm going to try it. Okay, Google.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Let's go caroling.
Here goes Ron.
Did it work?
It takes a second on mine to pop
it
up.
It does. And I like how the first search result is quick. Perform a Google search for Let's Go Caroling.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's very cool.
All right.
It worked.
Very cool.
Well done, Google. Well done.
Aaron, do you think this is, I mean, I'm assuming this is built in HTML5, right? Like they just add a card kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's pretty impressive, right? That they can just roll something out in HTML5 in the back end and include, you know, pretty good animation and stuff. You know, it's pretty remarkable to think that, you know, all this stuff is going on behind the scenes. You don't have to download an app update to get this new content.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, this is just one more example of how cool that HTML5 integration is. I mean, if you remember at Google, I think it was at Google I.O., they came out with that HTML5 game, the car game. And you could put different size. Mm-hmm. You could put like a tablet next to a phone. And you could have two or three devices and it would create a track on the fly. It was all done in HTML5, all done in the browser. Really incredible kind of stuff that they're coming out with. So I think this is the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, since we're so close to Christmas and winter and everything. Yeah.
Hey, man, you're with it.
I'm trying. I had a large coffee and yes, I'm ready to go. Right.
Yes, I realize we're speaking from a San Francisco perspective.
That's right.
Cold to us is like 70 degrees.
So that should be our analogies for this. Right, like last time it was sports analogies. So this time it should be like cold weather analogies for the whole show.
All right. Well, I'm not armed with a cold weather analogy for our sponsor, but I will say that Gazelle will keep you warm this holiday season.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Gazelle. If you're thinking about getting a new phone, new tablet, new iPads, iPhones, or Samsung tablets, the Nexus 7, whatever it is, Gazelle wants to buy your old used device. And they make it really easy to do so. You can actually lock in a price today and send it to Gazelle when you get your new one, because Gazelle's offer is good for 30 days. It's a really cool process. They basically make selling your used gadgets fast and simple. You go to gazelle.com, that's G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com, find your item, tell Gazelle the condition. They'll even buy broken iPhones and iPads, if that's what you have. You'll get a risk-free offer for your gadgets and free shipping, and then you'll be paid fast by check, PayPal, or you get an extra 5% with an Amazon gift card. So go to gazelle.com right now to get an offer for your device. You get paid in cash. Payment is fast, usually within a few days of the item being received, and it's risk-free. Those offers, like I said, are good for 30 days. That means right now you can lock in the price, and your gadget, you know, gadgets don't get more valuable over time. They depreciate in value. So lock it in now. So 30 days from now, when you decide, okay, I'm going to finally send it off, you still get today's price and not the 30 days later price. Pretty cool system there. Gazelle has paid more than $100 million to over 700,000 customers, and that's because it's easy. They make the whole process easy and worth your time. Free shipping, fast process with no listing hassles. Just a number of reasons to check out Gazelle. If this sounds like something that you'd like to look into, take the time. Go to G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com. That's gazelle.com. And take a minute and find out what your device is worth, your iPhone, your Android device, whatever you have. Do it now, because that device may lose value the longer you wait. And we thank Gazelle for their continued support of the Twit Network and All About Android. It's just a fantastic service. Get some money for those gadgets that you're not using anymore. Speaking of gadgets, let's get into hardware. I missed the opportunity for some sort of like wintery speaking of thing.
Okay. Well, I mean, Christmas wishes do come true.
Oh,
that's right.
And over the years and months, we've kept our eye on some various different devices that have been out there that have been announced. A lot of them sometimes are announced internationally, and we're like, oh, look at this really cool Android device. It's going to be in Korea only. It's going to be in Taiwan only. It's never coming here. Well, Asus is changing that. The folks at Asus announced that the Padfone Infinity is going to be released in the U.S. in the second quarter of 2014. And for those of you who don't remember what the Padfone Infinity is, this is the phone that goes from a 5-inch smartphone and turns into a 10-inch tablet.
It docks.
The phone docks on the back of the tablet, enabling your phone to become a 10-inch tablet. It's
like a leech.
You like your tablet? I know you like tablets. We turned your phone into a tablet. Like it's fantastic. It's one of those things that we're like, oh wow, that's wacky. That'll never come here. But sure enough, it is. And then at the same time, they announced a new Padfone Mini in Taiwan that shrinks it down to a 4.3-inch phone that turns into a 7-inch tablet. So a smaller version of the Padfone. Approach.
Yeah,
the Transformer.
John Fingus, previous guest of All That Android from Engadget, points out, remember, pad phone, not phone pad, just in case it's not confusing enough.
It is confusing.
I love it. This is fantastic. It's actually pretty smart.
Yeah, well, hey, I appreciate the different kind of perspective coming from this whole pad phone thing. Daniel, what's your take on this? Have you actually had your hands on a pad phone or a phone pad or any of these ASUS crazy devices?
I think I tried one. I think it was at CES or one of the conferences, maybe I.O., last year. I think it was the earlier generation. And I like the idea. I don't think anybody's going to go out of their way to... I think before 2013, before the rise of the, you know, Crate Snapdragon line, the SoCs inside the phones weren't powerful enough to get to the resolutions that a lot of the tablets needed. So the transition wasn't as smooth. And I don't think Android, from an engineering perspective, was as smooth enough.
Not laughing at you, laughing at the back pocket test. Watching this guy try to stuff this thing in his back pocket.
I think it's a decent concept that's taken a few iterations to get right. I can see why they waited until now to bring it to the U.S. because the U.S. is a really mature market, and they, you know, people, they buy high end phones because they're obviously subsidized. So a phone like this might be a bit more expensive because it comes with that extra tablet component.
Yeah, it's just such a niche thing. Like, I love...
Look at the charging. That's so cool. You can charge your phone via the tablet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really
shared,
cool.
Shared battery. Yeah.
Okay, has anybody... I mean, has anyone played with one of these, actually, though?
No, I have not. So, I would gladly play with one of them.
Maybe it's the...
For hours. You
know, coolest thing since sliced bread. I'm not sure I get it.
I mean, it's in this animation, it makes it look all very glamorous and nice and pink and white and all that sort of stuff. But, like, my question is right there at the back of it, is it a seamless fit? Is it a bump sticking out of it? What is the thickness of the device? You know, like, how secure is the phone? If I'm holding the tablet, is the phone going to slide out of it? I mean, I'm sure it's going to click in place and all stuff like that. But it's like, it's those design iterations that maybe now they feel, you know, like Dan mentioned, like, it's at the point now where it's actually feasible to throw to the U.S. and see how it does.
But for me, it's more of like, I don't want my device to be locked away while I'm using the tablet. You know what I mean?
But like, you can use the tablet as a phone. You can still get calls.
I know you can, but it's not. I don't get calls. I mean, who gets calls?
Well, so
anymore,
then, what
are
you worried about?
Well, a lot of times, my wife will be using her Nexus 7, or I'll be using her Nexus 7, and I'll be doing something, and for whatever reason, I don't want to like mess up what I'm doing, so I'll just pull out my phone and like look up an email or something like that, and then go back to the tablet and be like, oh yeah, this is what I said.
So you need to work on your multitasking.
I guess I need to work. Well, it's I guess so. I don't know. I just don't get it. Like, I want to have my devices there available to me if I want them.
Byron in the chat room points out, and you remember how phablets were irrelevant?
Yes.
And now they're more relevant than they
didn't
used to
Asus
be.
Have one that was not only the tablet, but it also then snapped into a keyboard and it was...
Yeah, the Transformer.
I
like the Transformer. I like the idea of snapping into a keyboard because then I can use it at work.
That's a distinction.
It is. I like the fact that it turns into like a little tablet or a little laptop. I like that because I still have my phone available to me. It's not like I'm locking away a device.
Oh, no, you're talking about the tablet into the laptop. Yeah. But wasn't there one that also had the phone that goes into the tablet that goes into the keyboard? Like, it was all three, or am I making that up? Was that a fever dream?
I think I remember that.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, I don't think they ever launched that, or they launched the keyboard components as a separate thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like at CES or something.
Yeah, I knew I saw something like that. Where when it's all three, like if I have three devices and I can collapse them into one, that's tempting to me.
Really?
And if I can still get text messages and calls when I'm working and stuff like that's the future. I don't want three devices. I want one device. I want one device that can be all three things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you want a Transformer.
I do.
But not an actual Transformer,
ASUS
Transformer. You want an actual, like...
If you took the pad phone and the Transformer and put them into one, and it worked, and it was cool, and it was pretty seamless, I would totally do it.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. See, there we go. Yeah, the pad phone. There we go. Yeah, I knew it wasn't crazy.
The pad phone, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's not...
the same, so that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
You can do it.
I'll try it. I'll start a Kickstarter.
There you go.
All right.
All right. Well, what else we got?
Well, speaking of things that don't always come to the United States, Samsung is launching a smartphone gamepad. Yay. I love gamepads, actually, and this one looks pretty good. This is an Android accessory, and it uses Bluetooth and NFC, which I'm kind of curious about. I didn't really say much about the NFC, how that works, but... It uses Bluetooth for the communication to the phone, and then it uses NFC for something. We're not sure what. No availability on pricing, but it has some, you know, really good, looks like good quality game pads, kind of a Xbox controller style controls with four buttons and an adjustable holder for the phone. It goes from 4 inches up to 6 inches, or 6.3 inches, I think. So you could use this with I think the Note 3 would fit into this, is what they're aiming
for. And the Mega.
And the Mega, yep, absolutely. So, you know, if you're into gaming, I've still got mine. I think, I don't know what episode it was. It was quite a while ago. Back, we talked about the Game Clip, allows you to use a Sony PlayStation controller. Basically the same idea, right? And your phone kind of clips into it. I think they had some adjustable versions or some not adjustable versions. Mine's not adjustable, but so I'm big into this because I love to game with a controller as opposed to using on-screen controls that get in the way. You can't see what you're doing. It's like, it gets really frustrating. So having a separate controller is cool. There's no word on price on this thing yet. There's the Game Clip. No word on price on the Sony one yet. They hadn't announced that, and it's only available in select European markets. But they say within the coming weeks it's going to be available in a lot more markets. So stay tuned, I guess, on that one if this looks something like something you're interested in.
I would guess that the NFC is for pairing. The Bluetooth is for the actual
automatically
transfer.
Pairing.
Automatic pairing.
When you put your phone
to, like,
in,
launching
it, like,
the app and zoom, yeah. you know, doing yep. some sort of manual sync. At least that's the way it was with the Sony smartwatch 2. It had NFC, and really with that, it was just a matter of pairing it, and then everything happened through Bluetooth.
Right.
So it's probably the same thing here. Cool. It looks like a nice controller.
Yeah,
it does. I mean, it looks like a quality controller. I mean, that's always like this controllers, especially every gamer will tell you, like, the feel of the controller. It can look good.
Yeah.
But you have to get it in your hands and play with it a little bit, see what it feels like.
Does it buckle?
Right. Or is it rubber? Are the controllers rubberized or do they slip around? You know, what happens when your hands get sweaty? That's always the big concern. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll get some more reviews of it, I'm sure, as it comes out in various markets.
Awesome. And then just a few quick things. Speaking of, changing subjects, to devices that we've talked about a lot on the show that have little things happening around them, revisions, whatever. There's a new version of the Nexus 5 that people are starting to see that has kind of bigger speaker grill for the most part. Because one of the big complaints about the Nexus 5 is the, many people would say the abysmal speaker quality in the phone. I suppose it's a little quiet. I haven't had a horrible experience with mine, but maybe I'm just not
these
playing
are like
a lot of audio.
Millimeter things. Changes.
Yeah, they're really pretty small. Slight. They're pretty minor changes, but changes nonetheless. And then I think the kind of the bigger news is that today, finally, after months of knowing that it exists but not seeing an option to buy it, the Moto X is now available with a bamboo case. And
there it is.
It does look pretty slick, I gotta say.
It's $100 more, though.
$100 more.
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot
only
of it.
Only comes with a white face.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I didn't see there that part. That's, it looks good with the white face.
Does it look $100 better?
That's that's pretty darn subjective, right? People who've been waiting probably will shell it out. But
can you chop vegetables on the back of your phone now? I can't find my cutting board. I just get out my phone.
So, look at that, bamboo. Who knew?
Yeah.
Ooh. So, last week, we were talking about Nokia, and Nokia's the rumor of their potential entry into Android-based phones, and as quickly as you can hear the sound of screeching brakes coming to a halt, we get a clarification that according to Nokia's Peter Skillman, head of user interface design, that they are not going to be developing onto Android after all. Apparently, it's got nothing to do with Microsoft, as Microsoft isn't acquiring the Nokia Asha line. But since for 2 years, Nokia won't be able to sell handsets under its name, investing in Android development just isn't feasible, given that Microsoft is getting the lion's share of their resources. So instead, Nokia is going to start focusing on wearables similar to Google Glass, as they've already started some work of that in their labs. And then additionally, their technical development will be looking into things like flexible screens and wireless charging tech and things like that.
Mm.
So no Android on Nokia, as we previously thought.
So they're going to be focusing on wearables for the Microsoft Windows platform or for Android platforms?
Probably not Android.
Yeah.
Some other platform we don't know about.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. That could be interesting.
Daniel, does it bum you out that you'll likely not see Android on a Nokia device anytime soon?
I never thought we'd see a Nokia device with Android. I never for a second even... I mean, yeah, the our R&D departments are obviously doing experiments, and it's probably not difficult to load... I mean, as we've seen with, like, the HTC... What was it? The the H7 or H2 or whatever? Like, that had every single OS on it known to man, and it still does. So Nokia's probably tried everything on their phones. They had the N9 with... Harmattan with Migo. Android's easy. It's free, and they probably just try to make it as good as experience as possible in the low end. But I mean, as we've seen with the Moto G, right? Like, Google's not making a lot of money on that. Mm-hmm. So they probably thought, screw it. We might as well not piss off Microsoft.
Okay.
What just happened?
Let me just say that in my testing of the caroling, this was the one problem, is that it randomly goes off. after you launch it once, you'll go away and do something else, and all of a sudden it'll launch into a carol. Like, I don't know if that's like, Easter egg
or a feature.
Oh, there we go. Yay.
Oh, man. That's funny.
So I'm actually going to go in and use the task killer and just see if I can kill this.
That's a good segue. Well, adding to the things that we – I don't know. I don't have a segue here. Another rumor is that Samsung with the Galaxy S5 might be – that new device might be launching with not only a 2560 by 1400 display, but with an iris scanner as well at Mobile World Congress in 2014. If you thought the iOS fingerprint reader was crazy tech that we never would have saw – honestly, I mean, I would expect we would see an iris scanner before we would see Android on a Nokia device. Honestly, an iris scanner, that's not that far. I mean, that technology isn't that crazy. No. Whether or not they can distill it down to a phone and have it be effective, unlike the face scan on Android. Remember the face unlock?
Yeah.
Do you see anyone use? But iris scanner is interesting. I don't know. Danny, you were shaking your head when I read that.
Well, I'm just reading the headline, like the fact that this rumor says that it's going to launch at MWC.
Yeah.
Samsung hasn't launched their S device at MWC in like 3 years. Yep. They use an unpacked thing, mm-hmm. Or an unpacked, like its own unpacked conference to do their launches. I don't think that they'll go to 2560 by 1400 in the next gen because there's no advantage to it. I think they'll stick another year at 1080p. The iris scanner, I don't know. I mean, Apple... with their, they made some very targeted acquisitions for their Touch ID. I don't know if Samsung's really that focused on the same type of hardware acquisitions as Apple was. I don't know if they have the foresight, or maybe they might bring it. But like the camera based, the smart scrolling or whatever.
Yeah, right.
I just don't trust that it'll be very good.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Samsung obviously loves your eyes.
They do. They really do.
A lot of things around your eyes and everything. But I mean, time and time again, I think a lot of times these things have been great, shown off on stage. Maybe they move some products because people are like, well, that's a cool feature. But, I don't hear from many people that say, oh, they use it all the time and they love it. There are people that do love it. I'm not saying that does not exist, but by and large... I think the usability of these things doesn't always stand up to them.
I mean, this doesn't really require any hardware, though, right? It requires a front-facing camera, which it already has. So like Face Unlock, this is very similar. It's just
like
the software.
I don't think so.
I think this is just software, programming problem that they have to overcome.
It would be a resolution limitation, I would think. Like, that's what iris scanning, even if you put like a 5-megapixel camera on there, there's no optical zoom. So you'd have to get right up close to it.
Right.
And then that defeats the purpose.
All right. We're all trying it now. Yeah. I'm trying it right now.
It doesn't work yet, guys.
There we go.
What kind of picture could I take?
It'd be like, it would be like passing it over a barcode, like, broop. There we go. All right.
Yeah, I mean,
I
agree. Like, I would imagine that there would be a resolution requirement in order to pull that off, but I don't know a whole lot about iris scanning.
There we go.
To be honest.
This is what it's going to look like. I don't know if Brian, if you can get here it comes. There it is. That's what it's going to look like, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, jeez.
I just tried it out.
Terrifying.
And I was like this on my phone. I was like this close. So,
that's high risk.
I mean, that's what it's going to look like. I mean, but I think the resolution is okay. Well, maybe it's not.
So,
there
what
yet.
Kind of detail though can you pull from an eyeball?
Yeah,
from
I mean, can you see what color my eyes are? My eyes are bluish grayish. You can't even see. Like, I wonder if.
Well, so according to Wikipedia. Mm. All right. Iris recognition uses camera technology with subtle infrared illumination to acquire images of the detail-rich, intricate structures of the iris.
Mm.
So
it could just be replacing that front-facing camera with one that's capable, or, right. You know, a little bit more capable of doing it.
With a little bit of
shooting laser beams into your eyes. Right,
pretty much, right, yeah, no matter what.
That's what we all want.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious, but I'm kind of doubtful.
Well, but I think what's kind of funny is that it's more of a keeping up with the Joneses. Like, well, Apple rolled out fingerprint scanning. What can we do?
What
about iris scanning? You know,
what's next?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so.
What else can we make stupid users, make them look ridiculous with their phones?
Stupid users.
Here, what can we do?
Well, there's your show title. Stupid make your, users.
Hold your phone way close to your eye and take a picture.
IAS calls this the Samsung iPhone.
Oh.
Say it. He said it in chat.
Oh, yes.
All right. What else do we have? Oh, yes. The LG GX.
Oh, yeah. I saw this. It's kind of interesting if you're an LG phone fan. And if you're a Nexus 4 or 5 user, you should be a fan of LG's products. They launched a new phone available only in Korea, I believe, for now. But this is the LG GX. And it includes some updated specs for the phone. It's a 5.5-inch display, so you know, on the large end for a display, decent processor. The things that I noticed about here that stood out to me was, number one, lots of storage space, 32 gigs standard, it seems like, storage space, as well as a honking battery. Now, it's a 3,000 plus milliamp battery, so the question is this battery required to give it normal operating life, or does it really extend the battery life of the phone, which would be great. But you know, until we get some hands on with it, maybe someone in Korea can help us out with that. But hopefully this will come to the US market. We can play with it. Pretty interesting phone, definitely high end. I kind of like the design. But you know, it's incremental, steps for LG here, I think.
Can we see the photo again there, Brian, or did we lose that, or what is going on with that photo? Is that some sort of, is the phone that big, or is there some sort of fisheye lens going on there? There's a perspective thing going on. Yeah, the phone looks as bigger than her head.
Yeah, someone laid that out perfectly. I mean, they've got the background at an angle.
I love these photos.
Yeah.
She could be smiling more, though.
She's got really small hands, so it makes the phone look huge.
I know. There we go. That looks
okay. Look how small her wrist is compared to the phone. look at my phone and my wrist, right?
I'm telling you.
My wrist dwarfs my phone, but her wrist is like half the size.
I'm telling you, if I was 10 or 15 years younger, I would totally have a Tumblr of awkward Asian phone photos, you know, like of all these, right? These bizarre
press release photos
of people who are so happy to be using their phones with weird camera angles and lenses. So
that would automatically be the most popular Tumblr of all time.
Wouldn't it? I know. And really the only thing that's not making that happen is I'm old and tired.
Exactly.
And I don't know how to work.
I'm not going
to
call you lazy, Ron.
No, I'm not lazy. I was selectively lazy.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
Guys, he didn't get his vanity Google Plus URL.
I know.
Give him a break.
He's bumming. You know, it's probably going to take him 2 months to get over this.
I like Daniel. All right.
Real quick here. Glass got an update. XE12. Kind of an interesting update. There's some really cool stuff in here. First of all, it was leaked earlier today and then pulled. iOS is getting a My Glass app for those of you who have Glass but you know are on iOS.
Wow.
That's coming sometime very soon. Playlist navigation through the Listen menu, which is neat. Screen pattern unlock for your device. There's no more guest mode, so you can't throw it into guest mode and give it... Apparently, it was just kind of like, you know, we're spending all this time trying to keep updates, you know, on this separate mode. And instead, why don't we put our time into awesome things for everybody that everybody will use. Hangouts glassware, YouTube glassware, no more signature attached that says sent through Glass, which I know a lot of people were bummed about. But the thing that you want to use, and I wish I would have brought my Glass to work today, is wink to pick. So you take you.
So
you
they
wink,
took the hack
and you take a picture.
So they took the hack and made it a feature.
Yeah, well, I think it was discovered very early on that this was kind of inside the code, you know, from an early stage, but just not activated, or at least there were references to it. So you kind of felt like eventually. it was going to happen.
Of all products, glass should have iris scanning.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Instead of pattern unlock.
Yeah, exactly.
But I want to know how effective Wink to Pick is. They want their glass explorers to get fresh.
How do they distinguish between a wink and a blink? Also,
that's a great question.
I mean, because you're just gonna be taking pictures like every time you blink. It's gonna be like, where did all these pictures come from?
I don't know. Maybe it's like, you know, when you blink, it happens so quickly.
Maybe you have to hold it for a second. Like,
yeah. But then that's just kind of awkward. I don't know.
Yeah. And you just look even creepier than you do wearing glass normally.
So. Exactly. Right. Exactly. It's like now you're wearing glass and you're winking at me. Come on.
I was reading a known, I'm sure you guys know Paul O'Brien. He's a really well-known developer over in the UK. And he was saying that Wink to Pick works really well. It's super responsive. It doesn't make errors like Aaron was referring to. And it makes taking photos a lot more natural. So I think that's kind of the natural next step, if you will.
I think it makes perfect sense, particularly because it's all about hands-free use. And, you know, when it comes to taking pictures, the moment you wanted the picture was just a few milliseconds ago.
Right.
So the faster you can get there as opposed to this.
The problem is that I'm not a very good winker. Command. Like, I'm not a...
My wife would not work for her. She cannot wink.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
She cannot wink. It blows me away. Yeah. And we've worked on it, and it's just like...
We spent hours in the winking pool, and it just doesn't, you know?
I'm like, okay, now close this eye and don't close that one. No.
Wow.
No. You know, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's cool.
All right, we want to thank our sponsor Hulu Plus for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And now you've probably watched some TV on Hulu.com, but Hulu Plus is so much more. With Hulu Plus, you can watch your favorite shows anytime or anywhere. Hulu Plus lets you watch thousands of hit TV shows and movies in the living room or on the go with your smartphone or tablet, as Jason frantically tries to pull up the app. With Hulu Plus, you can watch your favorite TV shows like Jimmy Kimmel, Shark Tank, Family Guy, Saturday Night Live, and you can watch every episode of these classic runs of TV shows like Lost, Doctor Who, Community, and Star Trek. You can also check out all the great exclusive content, including Hulu originals, like one of my favorite ones from this past summer, The Moon Boy with Chris O'Dowd, The Wrong Mans with James Corden, and Behind the Mask, Hulu's new docuseries that takes you inside the world of sports mascots. You'll also get access to a collection of ad-free movies and kids' content. All this for just $7.99 a month. You can catch up on current shows, binge on old favorites, or catch a great movie, stream as many TV shows and movies as you want, wherever you want. So right now, you can try Hulu Plus free for 2 weeks when you go to HuluPlus.com/AllAboutAndroid. That's a special offer for all of our audience, for all the All About Android family, just for you. Make sure you go to HuluPlus.com/AllAboutAndroid so you get the extended free trial, and they'll know that we sent you. We want to thank Hulu Plus for the support of Twit and hope you enjoy watching instantly with Hulu Plus.
Hulu Plus, Chromecast integration.
Yeah, pretty cool.
All I'm going to say about that, Hulu Plus, keep it up. All right,
thank you. Bring it to Canada.
Bring to Canada, that too. All right, let's move into apps.
All right, well, I don't know if you guys, you know, it is getting colder in many areas of the country, and people are turning to their thermostats to regulate the heat a little bit better during these cold months. And Google is actually taking a look at this with getting into the home automation gig with an EnergySense thermostat. I don't know if you have heard of the site Mobile Syrup, but they actually wrote an article. Let's see who wrote it here. Oh, Daniel. Daniel wrote it. Oh,
yes.
Well, why don't we just turn it over to you, Daniel? What do you think about this this leak? Where did the leak come from? And, you know, we've heard a lot about... I think typically it's called Google Home. I mean, for the past couple of years, it seems like before Google I/O, people, you know, speculate, oh, we keep getting leaks about At Home or Google Home. Mm-hmm. You know, is this that? Is this what that is?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they experimented with, you know, they did a trial of a thermostat a couple of years ago, if I recall, but they pulled it and it wasn't really doing anything major. I think this is Google's natural next avenue. You know, to get into home automation, they already have everybody using Android, and they have a huge ecosystem across iOS as well. And if they bring something like this to market, they're going to be partnering with a third-party thermostat manufacturer. So you know that it's going to be well made. I mean, it's not going to be Nest quality, but it may be close. The leak comes from a news site called The Information, which is Jessica Lessen, formerly of the Wall Street Journal's new subscription-only tech site. And she's had some pretty good, reliable leaks in the last couple months before launching The Information. And then EVLeaks, which is another very reliable leak site, brought this photo, which you can see here, you know, purporting to show EnergySense app on Google Play. So it does lend a bit of legitimacy to the whole idea. I'm interested to see how they differentiate themselves from Nest. I mean, obviously, Nest is the incumbent here. They clearly have a couple of years on Google, and they've been doing it longer. And I know that companies like Belkin and with their Wemo line are also looking to get into thermostats as well. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, maybe they'll do something, or maybe this is kind of like an Apple TV like experiment for them, where they'll just kind of release it on in a very small number of markets and see where it goes.
This is really interesting. I mean, I for a long time have thought that Google was in the right place to dominate home automation and completely revolutionize home automation if they chose to. The problem with it is, I mean, they've got the phones, they've got the software ecosystem that could make this work. But what they've really failed at over the years is partnering with third-party developers or third-party equipment manufacturers. So like the Nexus Q, you know, was kind of like a step in that direction, big failure. You know, Google TV, as much as we love it, yep. Again, I think in the industry, in the industry's view, it's been kind of a failure. So they have to pick like a couple national equipment manufacturers and just run at this thing. And it could be really big, but I really hesitate to bet any money on it because of their track record.
It's such a dangerous thing to go into, because the commitment to doing home automation and the automated home kind of experience. Mm-hmm. I remember, I mean, Microsoft flirted with it all through the mid-2000s when I was at an old gig and I was up in Redmond and we were at meetings at Microsoft. It was like a two-day conference with partners and things like that. And one of the sessions was 2 hours inside the Microsoft Home of the Future. And it was the home automated house that was all powered by Microsoft, and you walked around, and a lot of it was supposedly based on the technology that Gates had in his house that he had developed for his own house, where like as you walk through the house, the TV, what you're watching on TV follows you through the different monitors, and you can control the lights and the air conditioning and all this sort of stuff. Is anybody using Microsoft home automation products? It died at some point. It didn't, you know, and so it's a tricky thing to go through. And honestly, like the Nest approach, I think has been the best approach so far, because like we're going to do one product really well, and we're going to get a lot of people really cool, excited about it, evangelize it. And now we're going to introduce another product, you know, and then they're going to add another product to it. And I agree with you.
Connectivity and talking between those few products to begin with.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, I mean, I agree with you that Google has the capability to do it, but as the big corporation and the bureaucracy that comes with that, I'm skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Ron, Engadget reported yesterday that it may partner with a company called Ecobee, which is a well-known they've been doing smart Wi-Fi-enabled thermostats for like 4 or 5 years now. So, you know, they're not a huge company, but they're Zigbee compliant, which is this, you know, kind of short-range data transfer language or protocol. So they're not Nest, but they're getting there. And I think they like to white label their products. So I think if Google partners with them, they could stand to get into that next level.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like that right now everything is ripe for this, just given the ecosystem. Yeah. You know, you got Google on your computer, you've got Google on your phone, you got Google on your TV now. You know, you're listening to music. I mean, just everything is structured around this, and it's an opportunity. It's a huge opportunity, but I think it's a risky one.
I totally agree with you. So,
and now, just think about the potential. Sorry, before we continue, think about the potential of going, okay, Google, turn off your thermostat right as you leave the house. You know, it's just like that. It's already there. I mean, it's already always listening. You know, that potential for home automation just by talking to your phone. I mean, there have been people doing that with Tasker for a while. Right. It's integrated into the Android OS. Would be amazing.
Yeah. And who was the guy? Did you guys see the video? Who was the guy that did the home automation thing using Android.
I did see that video.
That was amazing.
Months back, and it was really impressive.
I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I'll try to find it because I've got it in my – I've seen it several times. But, I mean, he basically used, you know, voice recognition software on his phone to control, you know, a bunch of different rooms. And how easy would that be? How natural would it be now? Whereas, like, a couple of years ago, it would have seemed like, oh, I don't think that'll ever come about. But now it's like, oh, yeah, well, if I say, okay, Google, I'm home, right? And in your pre-programmed settings come on. I mean, that seems pretty plausible now. So, or you install an NFC reader into your door lock, right? And so you hold your phone up, it unlocks your door, turns on your, you know, romantic music, and sets the lights to low.
Yeah.
And,
turns on the Christmas carols.
Depending on your situation, of course, yeah. It turns on your Christmas carols. That's the bug.
It's cool. No, don't get me wrong. I mean, that's we talk about living in the future. That's a part of it. It's just a matter of who can build the devices that people trust enough to put into their house. That's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah. Daniel, it sounded like you had the name.
Oh, yeah. Armando Ferreira.
That's it.
He's the guy who's been doing it. But Zhao Diaz is the developer of Auto Voice Tasker. It's a plugin. And that's the one that allows you to plug all of these different components into Google Now.
That's cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Google gets into thermostats and other Internet of Things.
The important things.
Suddenly, Google is getting an insane amount of data about how you live every moment of your day.
Think about that.
If you weren't already giving them a ton of information.
And then think about the ad serving platform capabilities, too. You wake up and then there's a little,
Yeah.
So tons of opportunity there.
Tons of opportunity for, I don't know, this guy named Santa to fly through the sky, land on your roof, and come down your chimney.
Privacy concerns.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're letting Google have all this information. Yeah. We're not worrying as much as we should
just
about
inviting
a big,
this old
fat guy
yeah.
coming through your chimney and delivering presents to you. Mm-hmm. If you are worried about that or excited about that, you can track Santa Claus this year with Google's very own Santa Tracker app. Yes, it's not the biggest news in the world, but hey, it's what we got. If you're waiting for December 24th and you want, there's some games built into it and whatever, but I don't know, kind of nifty. I'm not sure if my four-year-old is, you know, she's getting there. She might be within the range of like caring about something like this, but I mean, right now, you know, I haven't even played through this really, but anyways, you'll be able to track Santa. And they've got all these little mini games in here and stuff.
Is it really 6 days?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Let me tell you, this is a hard game. Anyways, there you go. Santa tracking app. Next.
Well, so, and since you're in the mood and in the spirit, in the holiday spirit, Google has added a little, another little Easter egg to the latest update of the Google Plus Photos. Now, if you open up your Photos app, and you can show it here, I've got it here, you can add a little snow to your photo using some of the technology that they use in AutoAwesome. So if I open up the Photos app, and I go through my photos, and here's some Christmas trees I took in New York City.
Yes.
If you just shake your phone, it adds snow.
And then if you shake it again, you're creating an AutoAwesome snow movie.
Yeah.
Is this the first time that you can selectively auto awesome a picture of yours, that Google isn't doing it just automatically for you?
Possibly. Oh,
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't expecting to see that prompt, but then when I did, I was like, whoa, I'm triggering an auto awesome myself. I wonder if there will ever be a time for me to actually take a number of images and say, stitch these in this order, because sometimes those auto awesome animations don't come out perfectly.
The only other thing, it's not quite auto awesome, but it's the movie thing I think you can do.
Yeah, that.
You can prompt that, right? You can say, create an auto awesome, or do they call it auto awesome movie or whatever it is? Create a movie for me and it'll go through and create it and stuff.
It's snowing inside. Quick, get outside. It's snowing inside. There you go.
Yeah, cool. So, I haven't got my notification yet. I'll let you know when that happens.
Well, and while you're looking at your photos with the snow coming down all pretty and everything, and you want to hear some music, maybe some Christmas music, and you're a big Spotify fan, that's the awkward transition of the show.
that was the awkward transition.
Plenty more to come.
One of them, anyway.
There you go.
Spotify actually rolled out free streaming service to mobile users. So if you're on Android and iPhone and you would like to stream Spotify, you can now do that to your device. for free as long as you're in shuffle mode. You just pick an artist or a playlist to listen. Songs will play in order determined by Spotify with ads. That's how they pay for it. Every few songs. So, and you get 6 skips per hour. I know that's always a big deal. Like with Pandora, it used to be 3 or something right. for the free one. I don't know if it still is. I've got the pro version. So, I love Pandora. Anyway, so you can skip 6 songs, which is nice. And then on tablet, it more closely mirrors the free desktop service, allowing users to select any song or album and listen on demand with ads. So, that's kind of cool if you're a Spotify fan. Free streaming.
My photo has been auto-awesomed, and so if we want to take my
That
phone,
didn't take long.
That was very fast, and so here, so there it is, and if I tap on it, it's slightly different than the other mode. The snowflakes are a little smaller, and they're a little slower, but it's there. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Do you prefer it the other way?
I prefer it the other way, but yeah. The other way was just a layer, like an animation layer on the phone, clearly. So I'm going to share this on Google+, so there you go. Look at that, live.
Wow, exciting. Yeah. Live sharing.
Yeah,
that's right. You can only get that on All About Android.
Yep.
Real quick before we head into the arena, we had a post in the community on the All About Android community page on Google Plus by our good friend Marlon Thompson, who says, "Hello, new Humble Android bundle is available. I recommend Little Inferno last week, and guess what? It's on the Humble Bundle this week, along with some other great games. And here's what I realize about Humble Bundle and just games in general. I have a really hard time not buying games that look great. Yeah. Even though I have no time to play them.
I was going to say, I have a really hard time buying games to play ever.
I buy them and I never play them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I totally bought this. Like, as soon as it came out, I was like, oh, I got to jump on that. I mean, some of the games look pretty cool. Yeah. I love Humble Bundle. And the nice thing about these is they're cross-platform, so you can play them on Android or PC. And in I think most cases, they're Windows, Mac OS, and Linux. So, and it's a good – for me, it's about supporting indie gamers more than anything. Even if I don't play them, they look like really cool games. I'm sure they're really fun. It's one of those things where you go back and you rediscover them later for me.
Add them to your library.
I add them to my Steam library, and then later it's like, oh, what was this game? And, oh, that's really cool. So, yeah. And they're really good games for kids, especially these, really light indie games. I think kids love these. My kids always love these types of games. So, yeah, cool stuff.
Daniel, do you do a lot of gaming on Android?
As you'll see in the arena, yes. I've been known to get I don't do a lot, but I get addicted to games, and then I just spend ridiculous amounts of hours. I love the Humble Bundle. My only issue with Humble Bundle is that I don't trust the developers to remember to submit updated APKs every time they submit the same update to the Play Store. So, recently Ridiculous Fishing came to Android, and it was a little slow out of the gate compared to the iOS version. And I know the developers kept on, they kept on updating the Play Store version, but I don't know if they updated the Humble Bundle version the same number of times. Mm-hmm. So, it's understandable. I mean, you're paying, $5 for 8 games?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, check it out, humblebundle.com, and get in on the games. Soon, because you can pay less now versus later. All right, let's get into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Arena.
Arena. Last week's results are finalized, and Pixel Dungeon wins 33% of the vote. It was a pretty close race, at least for the top three. 33% of the vote to Pixel Dungeon. 29% of the vote for Action Launcher. Cal got 27%.
Look at that. That's a tight margin there.
Not many people want their phone calls to pop out. So Call Pop Out got 10%.
Oh, no.
All right.
There you go. All right. I hope to turn this ship around and perform better this week. And you may have already heard of this app, actually.
You actually stole it from me. I went in last night. I was like, oh, I'm going to get this
in. You want to know when I put this in? The second it was released. Really? I saw that it hit the Play Store. And I was like, okay, I'm claiming this one right now.
Smart move.
Because I'd been waiting for it.
Smart move, man.
It's called Cover. And it's essentially a lock screen replacement. And it's just has its own very unique aesthetic to it. I can show it off right now. Here's what it is. You turn your screen on, and you're presented with this. Now, obviously you have your apps on the side. They can be updated with, you know, like my Gmail has the number of unread messages. Wow, I've got a lot of unread messages. Wow. If I swipe up, I get more of my apps. And if I want to launch into, say, the Play Store, I grab it, pull it to the side, and it's launched behind the shade.
Oh, that's
right?
Cool.
So I could pull it back and preview it and then set it back. I could launch, you know, Twit Pro, and maybe that was like the wrong one to do. Facebook. There we go. Facebook's going to reveal. Okay, so basically that's how you unlock, essentially. You grab the app that you want, and you pull it to the side.
That totally saves you a click.
Yeah, it's absolutely. A click saver. It takes a while to get used to that, though, sure, because these kind of change all over the place based on how much you use them and where you are.
Oh, that's clever. But I mean, if you think about it, you're unlocking your phone to do something.
Right.
So why not unlock the phone with the action of what you're doing?
If security doesn't mean anything to you, then use Cover, because you're not locking your phone, really. This is like a launcher on top of your launcher in this case.
Yeah.
You can see up here it says home. Maybe you can't read that, but above the time it says home. This is just a number of kind of instances, like places, that will surface different apps based on what you use when you're in those places. Mm-hmm. It's reading me as home right now. It should be reading me as work. If I put that to work, you'll see a list of...
Change the photo to a skyscraper. Yeah.
Well, that's you up at the top floor of the skyscraper.
Downtown,
you know, there's car. It detects when you're in the car and surfaces things that you might want to use in the car, although I'm not sure that I necessarily trust its front page results. Pocket Cast, that's a great
Twitter,
result.
Twitter, though. Oh, Plume is a problem. Yeah. Instagram.
Where's Maps?
Exactly. Yeah. Maps is page 2. Yeah. That should be front and center.
But you said it learns over time, right?
It learns over time.
So essentially, you know, Maps should migrate up to the top if you use it a lot in the car.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, maybe I'm not very diversified with the apps that I have installed or that I use.
Right.
I probably use the same few apps, and so it's hard for it to determine. You know, I actually, in reality, don't launch Maps very often.
Oh, well, then there you go.
Because I'm always in Petaluma, so... There you go. This is out, like as if you're out walking out and about. And it just has these different kind of settings. You can kind of program them if you like. But more or less, it tries to do a good job of learning over time what you're going to need wherever you are. And then, I'll just pull on my Chrome and boom, I'm launched into Chrome. So that is Cover. It is free. It's definitely a beta app right now. And they even call it out in the title of the app in the Play Store, Cover Beta. So check it out. It's definitely a way of making your Android device, you know, changing it significantly, the lock screen portion of it anyways. And I don't know. It's worth taking a look at. It's definitely a different take on the lock screen. And I like it. It's very well designed. So that is Cover. All right. Who would be next?
Am I next?
Would that be you?
I guess it's with me.
All right.
Let's go with me. Let's go with that. So a couple weeks ago when Gina was on the show, and I hope Gina's doing okay. Haven't heard from her in a while.
We were on Twitter earlier today.
Yeah, yeah. She's okay. She had an app called Push Bullet that was very, very interesting and basically was the concept of taking content from your computer to your phone and vice versa. This app that I found recently, which is by a single developer and was very impressive for the work, given that it's one person, it's called Belt.io, and it's very similar, but a lot simpler. Belt.io basically is a shared clipboard between your desktop and your device. And it's great because it makes it real simple to share text-based information, whether it be links or information that you might need to, you know, you're on your computer and like, oh, I really want that on my tablet or my phone. I'll show you how it works here. So here I am on my laptop, and we can take my laptop up. And basically there's a Google Chrome kind of plug-in here, and you see the little belt icon right there. And this, when you click on that, it shows you your previous the previous things you saved. But it is as simple as if we can zoom back out. So let's say I want to remember how do I get that snow on my phone. So if I want, I can just right click and on the browser window, and you see it adds down here, send page to belt, and it will send it to your belt, and it will just immediately send the URL of this page to it. So I'll do that. And so then it'll say, hey, there it is, sent to belt. So now if we pop to my tablet over here, and if I open up the belt app, you will see once it refreshes, it shows up right there 1 minute ago. There's that link. And so now I can copy that link and I can go into the browser and I can paste it and go from there. or I can take the content and either delete it or just read what I might need to. For me, it's great because a lot of times there might be text, there might be directions or information that I want to share across the two. So going back to the desktop, if there's a block of text that I want to highlight in the browser, I can just highlight the entire paragraph on my – there we go. So right there, I've highlighted that and just right-click on it and send section to the belt and go like that. And it does it. And we go back to the application.
Send to the belt.
It's already – we missed it, but it already loaded up right there. Simply grab the new version of Google Plus rolling out gradually today. Said less than a minute ago. So nice. It's utilizing that sync really fast between the devices. Within the settings, very simple. You can specify in the application to receive push notifications when you get one, and you can see the little belt thing is up there. So it gives me my latest belt. And so I can take that. I can either copy it or I can share it or I can just swipe it away. You can also say copy to clipboard on receive. So as soon as you get it, you can have it immediately copied to your clipboard so that you can go and take it and use it within the browser or whatnot. Other than that, it's pretty simple. An interesting distinction, which I haven't gotten to play with yet, is that it also has a friends capability, where if you have friends with other belts, there could be something where, you know, Jason, if you set it up and we connect to each other, I can send you a URL. I don't know why I wouldn't send it to you over email or over text message or whatever, but I can highlight a bit of text and say send it to Jason's belt, mm-hmm. and then that way it appears immediately and it says from Ron and that sort of thing. Cool. So free in the Google Play Store. Like I said, it's by one developer, this guy named Saad Al-Raf. So good job, Saad. You know, just a very simple, easy, nicely designed, effective clipboard, shared clipboard between your desktop and your device. Belt.io. Belt.io or whatever
Belt
it might be.
Belt.io.
Yeah. It's really funny. Actually, one more thing I'll show you on the desktop. I do like when developers do kind of funny things like that. So here's the – if you go to Belt.io and you log in, you could see all your belts and that sort of thing. You can share them or delete them. But if you go to settings, it just – it's not that complicated. There's much to it. Just delete your account. So I like the idea of a simple application. So there you go. So Belt.io.
Right on. Yep. Belt.io, and that is free. All right, Daniel, you were talking about games. I have the game. Right. I have not played it yet, so I guess you can talk about it, and I'll fumble my way through it, see how well I do.
All right, well, this is a pretty simple app, so I think you could probably get the hang of it pretty quickly. Right. It's I got to give a shout-out to these guys. They're from Montreal, so they're not my hometown, but they're my home country. It's a really simple game. Oh, yeah, you have to go through this, which I find annoying. You can't skip it. But basically, you're a little knight, and some demon dude, he interrupts your game by stealing all the princesses in the kingdom, and you want to gain their love and affection. So you decide, oh, I'm going to go and rescue them. And it's an accelerometer-based game. So you basically have to tilt your phone and... all right, let's wait for it to load up. So yeah, you're this guy, and you just tap on the screen to start. And you're gonna have to tilt your phone, and then you're gonna tap it to hit these monsters. So tap on the screen.
Oh, I
see.
You're
gonna try to hit these monsters as you're going, and as you get better at the game, you get the hang of the tilt controls, and you get to vanquish all these different kinds of monsters. Now, the beauty of this is that while it is initially free to download, it's a $2.99 once you get past a certain point. I think it's past the first gate. Mm. There are different levels, different gates. You have to rescue all those 10 princesses. You have to pay $2.99. But after that, all the RPG elements, all those power-ups, everything, that is that's free. So you pay a one-time $2.99 fee, and everything else is free in the game. It's a fantastic soundtrack. Super addictive. I'm like almost finished the game and I cannot get enough of it. And this is, in my opinion, more so the game itself is really simple and it's really fun. But this is the way that Android free-to-play should be, in my opinion. You know, you get a taste of the game. You get a good amount of it for no cost. But you pay a single fee in-app after a certain point, and you get to finish the rest of the game with no nagging, no ads, nothing like that. So, yeah, I love this game. It's really well designed. It's an iOS port that was released in August. Dang. This came to Android last week. And it's a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure you want to keep playing it because it's that good. And you know, you get 70 different quests. So in the top right there, you see these quests. And after each round, you get to improve your character, this knight, by buying, you know, a better sword, a better faster startup, stuff like that. And every time you kill one of these monsters, you get more money, and that money goes towards these power ups. But as I said, once you pay that initial $2.99, none of those power ups actually cost any money.
Yeah, I kind of want to keep playing. It's hard for me to like maneuver around the reflection of the studio lights,
right?
But it's a lot of fun, I got to say. And
it reminds
me
a lot of Nin Jump. Was it Nin Jump? I think where you go from side to side. It reminds me a lot of that. Those kind of jumping games are always fun.
Yeah, and awesome. Those tilt controls are usually pretty annoying, especially since different OEMs they source different accelerometers. So one Android device may not feel the same as another. But I found across three or four different devices, you can adjust your sensitivity, and it really does feel the same across most of the devices. So they've done a pretty good job with quality control.
Awesome. I love it. And I agree. I love that kind of model of here's a taste. If you like it, pay full price for the app and you get full unfettered access at that point. That's for the way to do it. So it's an in-app purchase, right? It's not like a light version / thankfully, we're seeing less of that. Less of the here's the light version. Now you want the
full version. Yeah. So confused.
You can play free for 20 minutes.
Well, yeah. What I hate is when you play the light version and you get to a certain point and then you've got to start. Hank was right. This is the way to do it. Yeah. Developers,
cool.
Listen. So
that is Nightmare Tower, as in like Knight of the Round Table. Nightmare Tower. Awesome. Great pick. And Aaron, you have the last say.
I have the last say. I've won the last two app arenas.
You're going for the
I'm here. Yeah, this is my third week. I really would like to go for this. You guys got some great apps. I don't think it's going to work this time. But we talked about Elf. Of course, Will Ferrell film, right?
Yeah.
There's another Will Ferrell film coming out. Do you guys know which one's coming out this week?
I don't think you can deny that there's another Will Ferrell film coming out, because I feel like
we see it every
I've
day.
I've heard mixed things, too.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you're a fan of Anchorman, you may be a fan of my app. My app is called Scotchy Scotch Toss.
Oh, okay.
So this is an app that was put out by Paramount or whatever. I don't know who put this out. What's the movie,
it looks like
franchise
Paramount
behind
Entertainment.
Paramount? There we go. So Paramount put this out, and it's basically, you know, Ron Burgundy on your phone, and you have to throw ice into his glass of scotch because he likes his scotch on the rocks. So the way this works is, let me find Scotchy Scotch Toss. I should have had this up already. Scotchy Scotch Toss.
I think I saw it on the first screen you were on. I saw his mustache.
Oh, you did?
I couldn't deny it. Yeah, I couldn't deny the stash.
You're right. It is. It's called Anchorman 2 on in the app. So I thought it was called Scotchy Scotch Toss. Okay. So anyway, so here it is coming up. There we go. So there he is. I've got the. Let me turn the volume up a little bit.
And this is Scotchy Scotch Toss.
So this is. I mean, this is like a cheap thrill, right? It's. I mean, it's not a great app. I mean, there's lots of things tossing apps that you can get, right? It's a promo for the movie, granted, but it is pretty hilarious. So I'm just going to go ahead and play a single player game. Let's play in Tino's Jazz Bar.
I watch your reflection.
It takes two to put ice in a glass because I certainly can't do it on my own. Oh, sorry. Is that better?
Scotch Diego. That one didn't really work.
And you just flick the ice.
Please stop playing this game and use this phone to call for help. Hey, there's my jazz flute. That's mine, by the way. I play jazz flute.
So it took me a while to figure this out because there is like a wind. I don't know if you can see. Down here in the corner, there is like a little. I don't know why there's wind in Tino's Jazz Bar, but there's
a drafty
wind.
Place. Yeah,
so you do have to kind of. You do have to kind of. Let's see if I can get this one.
You're playing it as cool as your ice.
So that's it. I mean, that's the whole game. And
terrible.
For me, it's just hilarious to get. It's hilarious just to get insulted by Ron Burgundy on the phone.
That's pretty cool.
So I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, there really is not much to it other than that. You can play in four different places. You can play a two-player game. So you can challenge each other at it. But it's really just hearing him insult you the whole time. it does also have a sound bar. A soundboard. Let's see if I can get to the soundboard. Come on. Oh, there we go. So there is a soundboard you can go to. If I can get it up. Nope, it's not coming up.
Come on,
this is exciting.
Soundboard.
Honestly, there would be an arena if there wasn't.
If there wasn't a glitch. You know, sort of, yeah. Well, the soundboard is not coming up. So I did get to get it to come up before, but. Oh, well, there is a soundboard. You're going to take my word for it.
It's too powerful for the soundboard.
It is. It is. It's fun just to go to the soundboard and just play all his little dialogues that he has. So, granted, this is kind of a throwaway app. You know, you're going to install it. You're going to play it a few minutes, and then you're going to forget about it. But it's fun to play with your friends, especially if you're a fan of the movie. I think it's hilarious. And I think all of the PR stunts he's done have been pretty hilarious since he stays in character the whole time. So in support of the movie, install the app, even if you don't vote for it for me this week, but you should. Install the app, have fun with your friends, and then go see the movie. That's my advice.
Right on. I am curious to know how you feel about the movie when you see it. So
I'll definitely see it and let you know.
Google Plus. Cool. Scotchy Scotch Toss. So now...
Good evening. That music's still playing. Yeah.
It's still there. It's happening.
Still in the background.
Vote for your favorite app from this week. Is it Cover? Is it Belt.io or Belt.io? Nightmare Tower or Scotchy Scotch Toss by going to AAApoll.com/140. AAApoll.com/140. And let us know what you think. And we'll see Nightmare Tower right out of the gate. Appears to be in the lead for me, anyways. Oh, it's a three-way tie right now. This really could go in any direction.
It's a three-way tie.
Yeah, Scotchy Scotch Tie.
It's not a four-way tie. It's a three-way tie.
Currently hanging not so tough at zero votes. We'll see how this turns out, Aaron. You could get your sweep. I'm not ruling it out.
Look at that.
I know. That's just all over the place. Very cool stuff. All right. So what's happening in the next couple of weeks? Because things are happening.
It's all happening.
Yes. Oh, it's happening. Yeah. Next week, next Tuesday is Christmas Eve, and we expect for you on Christmas Eve to not shop, you know, last minute shop for your friends and family or do any of your normal Christmas stuff. We expect for you to download an episode of All About Android. It'll be a clip show, just some good moments.
Relive the moments.
Oh, the glory days of 2013.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Have never done a clip show for All About Android, so this is the
really?
First.
Really? Yeah, first in all 17 years of the show, we've never done a clip show?
All million years of
all,
the show.
I remember when Dick Van Patten was the original host. It was great. It'll be fun to watch our hair.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Short to long, to get a haircut, to Ron wearing Google Glass. There will be a few cool moments in there for sure. And then the following week is New Year's Eve. And if you haven't heard, Twit is doing a 26-hour. Yes. Not just 24. 26 hours of live broadcast from New Year's Eve to New Year's Day so that every time zone in the entire world can ring in the new year.
All right.
With Twit. Should be interesting. Anyways, it falls on a Tuesday, New Year's Eve, which means normal programming. Gina will not be back then, but Ayaz and Ron.
I literally just booked my Zipcar. I will be in studio for it.
Awesome. There you go.
So
we're going to make it really complicated to listen to for our audio listeners because it turns out Ayaz and Ron have similar voices.
I don't hear it.
What?
Everyone says that. So many people said it last time
Ayaz was on. Yes.
No way.
Yeah. They can't tell who the difference between Ayaz or me. I don't. Yeah. Audio-wise. I mean, in person, you know, he's much more handsome than I am, so that's clear.
You guys have different styles. I mean, your voice range may be similar, but you have totally different styles of speaking.
I think so, too. I think so.
Who knows? But.
Yeah, so anyways, that'll be a lot of fun on New Year's Eve.
I'm looking forward to it.
Kicking the pants.
Nothing like driving back to the city on New Year's Eve.
That'll be a lot of fun. Or just stay the night. You know, there's a beanbag in the back.
All right, yeah. I'll ring in the new year a Twit. That's exactly
something tells me you won't be the only one on beanbag chair.
Probably not. But as for this week, Daniel Bader, thank you so much for joining us once again on the show. It's been awesome having you back.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. This is your chance to tell people kind of what you're doing over at Mobile Syrup and really anything that you're working on. This is your feel free to plug away.
Mobile Syrup is my thing. I am the senior editor there. It's Canada's largest independent mobile blog. So we deal with anything to do with the cell phone industry in Canada. But we do touch on everything in North America as well. So a phone that was released in the U.S., we will give it a bit of a Canadian spin, but we'll also talk about it. So please check us out at mobilesyrup.com.
Absolutely. And on Google Plus, I see your updates on Google Plus all the time as well. So
yes. I am slash plus Daniel Bader.
Excellent.
All right.
Right on, Daniel. Well, we'll be in touch. Love to have you on again if you're available.
Sounds good.
Right on, man. Thank you. So let's see here. Aaron.
I'll go next.
What about you?
Yep. Yeah. You can find me. I actually do. I did get the registered Google thing, but it was my name. So, you know.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So you can find Google Plus is where I hang out. Go to Google Plus. Look for me. I'm Aaron Newcomb on Google Plus. Also on Twitter and Facebook. You know, happy to have followers there as well. But hang out on Google Plus. Talk to people on Google Plus. You know. All kinds of stuff. So definitely go there and see what I'm interested in. You know I'm going to be talking about Android. I'll also be talking about making stuff and open source software. Google. I posted that while we were on the show.
Your Google Plus page reminds me that I need to change my cover photo. I don't like the larger cover photos.
I don't like it either, actually. Yeah. I've got a new one I've got to put up for our Hawaii trip.
They're stretching mine now, currently.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, you can follow me there. You can also follow me on several other shows on the Twit Network. This Week in Google, Floss Weekly, which tomorrow morning we'll be talking about. Actually, I won't be on the show, but they'll be talking about content management systems, new open source content management system. We've had a lot of those, but they, you know, got to talk about it. So tune in tomorrow morning, 8:30 Pacific time for that show as well. And I don't know. I'm sure I'll be back on this show at some point. So
yeah, of course. It's always good to
have you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for filling in for Gina while she's been out.
Yeah, sure. That was great. Yeah. It's been fun.
Right on. Ron.
So you can find me at about.me/RonXO, where you can find links to my Twitter and Facebook and all stuff like that, and on Google Plus at google.com/plusRonRichards, very begrudgingly.
Says with a sigh.
But yeah, I need to change. Oh, there's my snow picture.
Yes.
Yeah, I need to change my cover photo. For those who want the update and closing the book on the Ron Richards SMS.
Yes.
So after last week's show and during last week's show and after last week's show, in the avalanche of people on Twitter who finally figured out what my problem was, and we figured out the workaround is to set up another Google account and sign out of that on, and that way you can use Hangouts. But I don't like the Hangouts app, so I've been using Textra Plus since then, and Textra Plus is I'm sticking with so far. So there you go. So cool. You can stop telling me on Twitter how to change Hangouts, because I get it. I know.
That's not going to work. No. People still tell you.
Know. I appreciate it, though. I love the interaction.
Brian, I know you're expecting a new phone, a new addition to your family someday soon.
Yeah, I'm hoping to have the Moto X soon. All right, fine. John. So one of these, not with the wooden back.
You got the bamboo back?
I wish.
Nah. Well, I can't wait to hear about your Moto X experience. Possibly the next time we do probably the next time we do All About Android, our technical director, Brian, who does a fantastic job, will have upgraded officially from a Droid Incredible to a Moto X.
There you go.
I feel like a part of the show.
Right on. Happy to hear about it, man. And as for me, you can find me about.me/JasonHowell. I'm on Google Plus, plus Jason Howell there. And then music, if you want to listen to my music, you can. Sure, go ahead. It's yellowgoldmusic.com. Actually, I put it everywhere. So
it's great.
If you're in Play Music, it's there. If you're Spotify, Amazon, SoundCloud, YouTube. And on, I think it's today's episode of NSFW. It was recorded one day earlier. The NSFW, the chat realm, basically, all bandied together and helped me record a music video for
awesome.
The first track on the album, Lonely Nights.
Cool.
Check out this week's episode of NSFW, twit.tv/NSFW, and you'll see that video. Pretty awesome stuff. It was a lot of fun. So thanks to everyone who participated in that. That's it for this week. It's time to round this out. Voicemails can be left at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can always leave us an email at AAA@twit.tv, or video mail, link to a video mail. We're probably going to play it if you send a video mail. Twitter, we are at Android Show. On Google Plus, we're plus all about Android, as well as a great community there. Reddit, have a voice in the stories that we put in. I do reference that, twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA, as well as YouTube and iTunes. And you can catch us live normally every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.
Bye-bye.
Merry holidays.